bread.
Good morning, where it, yeah, piece of bread is always good. And a little bit of water.
And jug of water.
Good thing in the morning.
And then go make babies.
That's one of the things that helps.
There's no garlic.
This is the formula.
For
okay.
Bagels.
So we're in the middle of a story about Rabba Bar Rav Huna. The Gemara had said that if there is trees that are on the banks of a river, so people can cut down the trees to enable the rowers in the boat to be able to pull the strings on the sailboat, even though by doing so, they're going to go out of the boat a little bit, go on to the airspace of where those trees were. So the Gemara related that Rabba Bar Rav Huna had a forest on the banks of a river. People came to cut it down. He said, first cut down the trees that are on top and are below. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? We have a rule, first to correct yourself, then you go tell other people what to do. So the Gemara explained that what Rabba Bar Rav Huna was saying was that the trees further up and further down the river belong to a Persian Gentile. He's saying, you're not going to cut those, so because he's never going to let you. So since you can't cut those, what did you gain by cutting mine? Don't cut mine. So a further part of this story. Rabba Bar Rav Nachman have a Chazal Ba'arba. Rabba Bar Rav Nachman was traveling in a boat on this very same river. Chazahu Abba, he saw this forest, the Kaya Guda Dinahara, that was standing on the banks of the river, the forest of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Amalahu Daman, so he asked his people in the boat, who does it belong to? Amalei, they said, it belongs to Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So he said, I don't understand. One of the great rabbis is leaving his trees here, which is illegal, so giving a bad example to everybody else. Amri said, this is the pasuk. V'yada sarim v'azganim ha'isaba ma'alazeh. The hand of the ministers and those who are in charge, the deputy ministers, was there in this crime that the leaders do wrong and everybody else follows. Ha'isaba ma'alazeh rishon. They were in this crime first. Amaluhus, he told his people, Kutsu, Kutsu, cut down these trees. We have to help out Rabba Bar Rav Huna. He's not doing the right thing. Let's cut it down for him. Asa Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna came to the banks of the river. Ashkechei Dekayit. He found that his trees were cut down. Amar, he goes, get very angry. He said, what did you gain by cutting down my trees? They're the trees further ahead and the trees further below that weren't cut because they belong to the Persians. So just cut down my trees. Anyway, the boats can't come on this side of the river because of all these trees here. So he said, anybody who cut down my branches, takut sanfei. Measure for measure, his branches should be cut down. Amri said, they say, kulu shana de Rabba Bar Rav Huna, as long as Rabba Bar Rav Huna was alive, his curse was fulfilled. Rabba Bar Rav Nachman's children didn't last. Any of the children Rabba Bar Rav Nachman had died because his branches were cut off, because he cut it down, the branches of Rabba Bar Rav Huna.
Wow.
That's the story.
Yeah, but yesterday we covered that if the tree is on the border of land between two people and the
branches, the roots go into both sides and they split the fruit.
They split the fruit. Now, what happens if that tree falls down? Who's responsible to, you know, cut it down or whatever?
Both.
Both of them?
Or maybe the one that it fell into. But I would think both. Because it's
the tree could be here, the roots, and fall down on this side.
Maybe
so
the other one. I don't know. Okay. Now the Gemara goes into a whole series of lessons about the responsibilities of a Talmud Chacham to pay taxes. So Amar Rav Yehuda said, if a town needs to repair the fence, to put in the fence and to put in doors and bolts in the gates, Hakol Igli Gapa, everybody has to contribute towards the fences. Afilu Miyasmi will even take some of the money of orphans and put it into making the fence. Avarabanan Lo, but rabbis don't need to contribute towards paying the fence. My time, why do rabbis not have to pay the taxes needed to build the fence, to build Trump's wall? Rabbanan lo tzrichin etzirusa. The rabbis don't need to be protected. They don't need the wall. The Torah, the pasuk says in Mishlei that the power of Torah is such that uveshachbucha, when you go to sleep, tishmar alecha, it will protect you. So since Torah will protect you, the rabbis who have Torah, the Torah protects them. They don't need a fence or guards or police or soldiers to protect them. They don't need it. So Gemara says, what about if it's other needs? Lakaria de pacha. But if you needed to dig a well, and you're collecting from everybody to dig the well for water, even the rabbis have to pay that tax. So Lamar, but that's only true if the nature of the tax is money. Not that the nature of the tax is everybody goes out together to dig together, to physically dig together. If the whole town has been drafted that everybody should go and put their shoulder down and help dig, the rabbis don't have to participate in that even though they benefit from the well. Because it's not respectful for rabbis to have to go out with everybody else and start digging and do physical labor. All right, another lesson, talking about rivers. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, in terms of paying for expenses, you have to pay for the expenses that benefit you, even though it's not right next to you. You don't have to pay for the expenses that don't benefit you, that benefit somebody else. So there's a difference here between water that's flowing to irrigate and water that's flowing as sanitation to get rid of it. So Lakaria Dinahara, if we have a problem with the flow of the rainwater, I'm sorry, the flow of the river water in order to irrigate the fields. Let's say you have a mountain. There's a river that's going down the mountain, and there are fields all along the river on the sides, and there's a problem now. All the way at the top of the river, there's a blockage. There's dirt and twigs, and the water's not flowing. So now, obviously, the guy on the top needs to clear it because he needs to get the water to his fields. The guys on the bottom also need to help pay for that clearing because they can't get any water now that it's blocked on top. And if it's further down, they need to pay, but the guy on top doesn't because he's not even gaining by the clearing of what's further down. He has the water by his side. So look, Kaya Dinahara, in terms of clearing out a blockage of river water, Tatoi Misayi, the lower ones have to help. The guys on top, if the blockage is on top, Eloi lo misai tatoi, but the guy on top of the mountain, if the blockage is on the bottom of the mountain, he doesn't need to give money to help the guy on the bottom of the mountain clear the river. Because he says, for me, it's even better that it be blocked. Because if the water is blocked, let's say, in the middle of the mountain, that means there's going to be more water on my side. If you're going to clear the blockage in the middle, so now the water is going to flow quickly through my area. I'm not going to have as much water staying here. So I don't have to pay to hurt myself. But the exact opposite is in terms of sewage. The Maya Dimitra. Let's say you have water coming down in the rain. The rainwater is coming down in the city that's on the mountain. And the rainwater is making a lot of mud. So they build the sewage channel to take the mud out. So then if there is a blockage on the top, the people on the bottom say, we like it like this, because now there's no mud even coming to our area. Whereas the people on the top don't like it. They want to clear what's on the top. And if there's a blockage on the bottom, the people on the bottom don't like it because the sewage is backing up to them. And it's bad for the people on top too. It's backing up to the people on top. So if we're talking about a sewage, drain, so then the people on top have to contribute to the people on the bottom. Whereas the people on the bottom don't have to contribute to the people on top. If we're talking about a river flow and to help irrigation, then the people on the bottom have to help out the people on the top. The people on the top wouldn't have to help out the people on the bottom to clear the blockage. Tanya Namachi, that's what we learned in a Braisa. Chamish Ginos, if you have five gardens, Amastapkos Mayim Rimayin Echa, they're one after the other getting water to irrigate them from a single spring. Viniskalkal Hamayin, and somewhere along the way the spring gets ruined and gets blocked. Kula Mitaknos Imel Yona, they all have to contribute to fixing that blockage together with the top one. In other words, the higher one contributes, if the blockage is near it, if the blockage is further down by the bottom, the top one wouldn't contribute. It comes out that the bottom one will have to pay for the fixing regardless of where the blockage is. Sometimes it'll have to pay just for itself. It itself is paying when nobody else is, if the blockage is only near it. And the same is true if you have five courtyards. It's the same principle, but it's actually the opposite halacha. If you have five courtyards with a single sewage drain, so now the blockage that's lower causes more damage to everybody else. If the sewage canal got ruined, if that blockage of the sewage is by the lowest courtyard, so that guy needs to clear the blockage, but so does everybody on top of him because the sewage is backing up. People don't want it to back up. And then it comes out at the top when Mitakenes fixes him kulon with all of them. Umitakenes la'atzma, and might also have to just fix it for itself if the sewage is by it. Okay, that was the end of the lesson of participating in city expenses. In the days of the Persians, they used to have certain fields that the government said were ownerless, and they said anybody who grabs them and plants them can keep them because they wanted to get taxes out of them. So the Gemara now discusses, what about if those fields are on the sides of a river? And you want to grab the field, and the government's giving you permission, because the government wants taxes, but that hurts the boat people, because the boat people like to use the sides of the river to store stuff, to put things on the banks of the river. That's what they did. The Persian government did it.
You're obsessed like Phil did it.
Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Hi man, this fellow, the Achzik Beraksa Denahara, who grabs the banks of the river and plants there because the government gave him permission to do so, Chatzifa Havi, he's very mechutzav, he's brazen. But even though, Christ, it's not right, there are other people who are using it, but because he's now planting it, they can't use it. Okay, it wasn't such a nice thing to do, but Slukulam Asal Kinley, we can't throw him out because he's doing it with government permission. However, Hayidna, but nowadays the Kokasi Parsi, but the Persians write to anybody who grabs a piece of ownerless field. Savra Susa Maya, you've acquired this area all the way into the water of the river, as much as putting a horse into the river. Now we can even throw him out for grabbing the sides of the field. Because as Tosfos explains, we'll use Tosfos' explanation, if we let him grab the sides of a field, he's going to have legal title even into the water of the river. So he might put up a barrier in the water of the river and say, hey, it's my space, the government gave it to me, now boats are not even going to be able to pass by. So then the courts would take him out. All right, now talking about grabbing these ownerless fields. I'm Rav Yehuda, my Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Hi, man, the machzik beni achi. Let's say a person grabs an ownerless field that the government made available, and it's in between two fields that are owned by brothers who had inherited their fields from their father. Or Rubeni Shutfi, or he grabbed the field that's in between two fields that are owned by partners. Chatzifa hava. It's a mechutzav thing. He's a mechutzav for doing it, right? Because let these people grab it. They want it more. But Sluki Loma Salkinle, we can't throw him out if he did. However, Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman said, Nami Misalkinli, we would throw him out, because what a terrible thing, he should be nice. As we'll see now, the whole lesson called Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra means that the Torah says you have to be nice to your neighbor. The Pasuk says, Vasisa Yashar Vatov, do the right and the good. So if you have a field, and you want to get out of the business of agriculture, you should first let your neighbor buy the field, because if he buys the field, it'll help him to do agriculture, to have two fields next to each other, to combine the fields, it's easier for him. Whereas if he has one field here and another field somewhere else, he has to plow here, then he has to take the tractor over there. It's much harder for him. So you should do the nicer thing and always give your neighbor the first right to purchase the field. So what happens? So here too, according to Rav Nachman, if a guy grabbed an ownerless field in between neighbors, he's not right. If there's a neighbor there, Mishum Dina Debar Metzra. So Rav Nachman said, if he grabbed a field between partners, you take him out. But if he grabbed the field and there was a neighbor there, and the neighbor said, well, I wanted to grab it. So then, we don't have to make him leave because it's not really a case of buying, right? It's a case of grabbing from the government that he could do. But Nardoy said, even if he's grabbing a field and there's a neighbor protesting, he has to step away and let it be for the neighbor. Because the Pasuk says, Vasisa Yashar Vato Bene Hashem. You should do the right and the good in the eyes of God. And that's the basic law of Bar Metzra. The really, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the obligation of Bar Metzra is an obligation on the buyer. A buyer who buys a field, he's not supposed to buy the field if there's a neighbor here who would have wanted to buy this field. Because the neighbor would have been a great help to the neighbor to buy the field. And therefore, the neighbor can tell him, you have to leave, I'll reimburse you, but I'm going to get the field from you. And that's the law of Bar Metzra. All right, now talking about the laws of Bar Metzra. There's a law that if I would like to buy a field, and if a guy would like to sell the field, the first buyer has to be the neighbor. If the neighbor wants it, and he's willing to pay the same thing I'm willing to pay, he's the one who gets it. What happens if I went to the neighbor and I asked him, can I get the field? Do you mind if I buy it? Amale Ezel Isbin. He said to me, Zev, for you, no problem. Go buy it. Amale. Right, I asked him for advice. I asked him if I should go buy it. Amale, he told me, Zilzvin, go buy it. Can I trust his word, or do I need to do an act of acquisition, a kinyan chalipin, a lifting of a handkerchief, to really be confident that he's allowing me to buy it, and he's waiving his rights of bar mitzvah of being a neighbor? Ravina said, you don't have to do an act of chalipin. Naradai said, you can't trust him. He has to do an act of chalipin to really give you the right to get that field. That's the halacha. Without an act of chalipin, he can still come and say, sorry, Zev, I didn't mean it when I said you could go buy it. I want the field. Give it to me, and I have to give it to him. For me to be able to take the field and not have to then hand it over to him, he would have to give me an act of chalipin with him.
The price has not been the same price at all.
It has to be the same price. It has to be the same price, because the seller doesn't have to lose just because.
So he has the first right of refusing.
Exactly.
Or does the bar mitzvah guy have to do chalipin?
No, he'd have to do a chalipin to surrender the rights of bar mitzvah. Otherwise, we don't trust him. Otherwise, there was the right of bar mitzvah. Right. Now, hashta da amrit sarach lemikdimine. Here's a wild thing. Now that we say that he needs to do an act of chalipin to give up his rights of bar mitzvah, ilo kanumine, if I did not do an act of chalipin from him, ikur vizol bershusei, if the field went up in value or went down in value, it's his field that went up in value and went down in value. As an Imuke Yosef explains, if we didn't do an act of chalipin of him giving to me the right to get the field, when I bought the field, I was his shaliach. I was his emissary. It's his field. If it now went up in value since the time of the purchase, he got that profit. All he needs to do is give me the money of the moment of purchase, and he has the field. If it went down in value, it was his field that went down in value. All he needs to do is give me the money of the moment of purchase, and it's his field from then, and he's the one who gets the loss. What about the following case? Zavin b'meya, I did the act of buying the field without doing a kinyan chalipin from him. Bought it for 100, v'shavi masan, it's really worth 200. Can I make him pay me 200? Or does he get away with paying me 100? So Chazina, we take a look. If the seller was desperate to sell and he would have sold it for 100 to anyone, so Yaev Lemeyev Shakile, he only gives me 100 and he takes the field. But if he was not going to give everybody a discount, he gave me a discount because he likes me. So then that guy is not entitled to that discount, the neighbor has to give me 200 to get the field. Let's say I bought it for 200, v'shav yameya, but it's really only worth 100. So Savamine, they thought, Matzi Amalei, that the neighbor could say, listen, you became my emissary because I never gave you an acquisition saying I didn't want the field next to me. So you were my emissary when you bought the field next to me. But as an emissary, I wanted you to help me. I didn't want you to ruin me. You overpaid. I'm not going to overpay for it. Amalei Mark Shisha Bredev Chizbulev Ashi. Mark Shisha, the son of Rav Kizda, said to Rav Ashi, no, Hachi Ami Naradoi, this is what the Naradoi is saying, Mishum to Rav Nachman, name of Rav Nachman, Eino Nala Karkos, there's no law of mispricing when it comes to buying land. So therefore, that was the fair price. The fair price is 200. I paid the fair price. He needs to give me the 200 to get it. Next case. Zavin Lei Griva the Arab Mitzah Nechse. Let's say I bought a large plot of land, a plot that can have a whole base court, in the middle of a man's fields. In other words, there are neighbors to David, and in the middle of David's 5 acres, I bought the acre in the middle of David's 5 acres. Yeah. So now it depends. Chazin and Iyid, to see if that middle plot that I bought is better than the others. Easy Burisi, or if it's worse than the other fields around it. So Zvina. That deal was a good deal, and I own that plot. Below, but if that field is equal to all the other fields that David has, so your roommate coming out, what's going on here? I'm getting the field in the middle to make myself a neighbor. And now I'll be able to get the other fields next to it. So they can say, hey, we're really the neighbors. You're just trying to put yourself in here as a neighbor. You can't be here. And then they can tell him, Zev, you get out. And we are the neighbors first. We want to buy the lands of David, and I have to move out. And I can't get in. That's right. Now we have a bunch of exceptions to the law of Bar Mitzvah. It'll come out that there are going to be 8 exceptions to the law of Bar Mitzvah. More even, like 11. Matana. Let's say David gifts me a field. Less permission dina de Bar Mitzvah. I don't need to walk away from the gift because the neighbor would like to get the gift. Because the whole idea of why I need to walk away from the field and let the neighbor get it is because I should do the nice thing. But the neighbor, so the nice thing is that if there's a field for sale, I should let him buy it before I buy it, because for him it's a bigger help than it would be for anybody else. That's in terms of buying the field, because he could buy it. But a gift, who says David wants to give him a gift? David wants to give me a gift. I'm his friend. He doesn't want to give him a gift. So if I got it as a gift, there's no law of Bar Mitzvah. I can keep it. Amar Amemar, Amemar said another law, though, that if the gift that I got was written with a guarantee, because of Leachrayus, it was written with a guarantee that the giver said, Zev, if this field is taken from you because of people I owe money to, come back to me and my other possessions will be obligated for the field. So that means it's not a gift anymore. That means it was a sale. Because nobody gives guarantees to gift. They only give guarantees to sales. Then already if it's a sale, he's just hiding it. He's calling it a gift when it was really a sale. Then it's b'mishum bar metzah. Then you do have the law of the neighbors. I have to leave it for the neighbor. Another law, another exception to the rule of Bar Mitzvah. Machar kol nechasav le'echad. Let's say the guy who I bought it from sold all his fields to one person. And one of them happened to be next to a neighbor. So that's permission dina de Bar Mitzvah. Then you wouldn't have the law of Bar Mitzvah, because the buyer can say, you, the neighbor, are only looking to buy one field. He doesn't want to sell one field. He wants to sell all of his fields. He wouldn't be able to sell all of his fields unless I got stepped in. So I don't have to give you this field. Zavan me'akel. Let's say the buyer bought from a non-Jew, from a Gentile. Or Zavin Le'akum, or the man sold the field to a Gentile. Les Pemishum Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Then you don't have the law of Bar Mitzvah. Zavan Me'akum, if I bought a field from a Gentile, I did the good thing to the neighbor. Normally I tell the neighbor, Ari Avrachililach Mimitra, I got a lion out of your boundary. I helped you out. In other words, as the Tosus HaRosh explains, I can tell him, you know, I helped you out. I bought this field from the Gentile. It's terrible to have a Gentile as your neighbor. If I wouldn't have stepped in, he would have sold it to another Gentile. So I helped you out by buying it. And therefore, I don't need to leave. Zavan Le'akum. If a man sold the field to a non-Jew, then there's no law of Bar Mitzvah. Because as we've been saying, the obligation of Bar Mitzvah is an obligation on the buyer. That the buyer should vacate his offer to enable the neighbor to step in. But that's only true if you can tell the buyer what to do. Akum vader lav bar vasisa yosher vatovu. Non-Jews are not obligated with the laws of do the right and the good. They don't have to keep the mitzvahs of Parshas Vayeschanan. They don't have to step away. We can't tell the non-Jew, oh, step away because do the right thing to the neighbor. So since we have no right to do that, there's no law of Bar Mitzvah there. However, we would do the following to the seller. Shamute vadim ishamtinale. We would put the seller into excommunication, into cherem. Until he accepts kol onsin islam achmasa, until he accepts whatever damages and pain and affliction the non-Jewish neighbor that he brought in is going to cause to the former neighbor that he had. Well, it could be about Eretz Yisrael. Then you can't even sell. That's true. Mashkanta. What happens if the man who sold the field had first made the field a collateral? So he borrowed money from Reuven, he made his field a collateral to Reuven, and now he's selling the field to Reuven. So less permission dina de Bar Mitzvah. So now the neighbors can't say to Reuven, hey, get out, we wanted the field. Because Reuven can say, I already was a neighbor. By the virtue of the fact that I had a collateral in it, I am a neighbor. To Amar Ravashi, as Ravashi said, Amar li sava de Mata Machsia. The elders of Mata Machsia told me, my mashkanta, what's the definition of the idea of mashkanta, collateral, or an obligation, that the person who has the collateral, he's literally living in it. He's the neighbor in it. What's the difference whether you call him a shachen in the field? Dina de Bar Mitzvah. The difference is to the law of Bar Mitzvah. All right, another exception to the law of Bar Mitzvah. Yeah.
That's a nice loophole. If they, say, okay, give me money, I give you collateral.
Okay. Very good. We'll see, there are lots of loopholes to this law. Let's say the seller, the reason why he's selling is because he needs cash right away. Because he wants to move from a field that's far from him to a field that's close to him. Or Barah, he's selling because he wants out of this field because the field's not a good field. He wants to reinvest in a field that's very good and very fertile. So he needs cash right away for the purchase. So again, less permission dina de bar mitzvah, then you wouldn't have the law, oh, wait for the neighbor. Because he doesn't have to wait. He doesn't have to lose because the neighbor wants to buy. Let's say he needs the cash, lekraga, because he needs to pay the head tax, lemazoni. He needs to sell the field because he has to feed his children, he has to feed his wife, lekvura, or he died, we need to sell the field. We need the money in order to pay for his burial. Again, last time we shum dina the bar mitzvah, we wouldn't have the law. Oh, let's first go to the neighbor. Let's give the neighbor a chance. I mean, Narada, because Narada taught us, lekraga, lemazoni, lekvura. When it comes for the head tax, or it comes for getting money for food, or money for burial, mizavina b'loach rezasa, we sell even without first announcing a period. You know, here it's going to be for sale. Let's have the bids for a month. We have to get the money out. We have to get the money as soon as possible. So the same is true in terms of bar mitzvah. Another example, Leisha, a man who has to sell the field. A man, I'm sorry, who sold the field to a woman. Or Liasmi sold the field to orphans, Ulashutfi, or he sold the field to his partner. So again, less permission dina de bar mitzvah, the neighbors can't force the buyers out because they can say, a woman says, listen, it's not fair to try to make me a person who has to run around looking for a field to buy. And the orphans also, it's not fair to make them looking around for other fields to buy. And a partner is like a guy who has collateral. He's already virtually a neighbor in the field. According to Rashi, at this point, the Gemara suddenly interjects in the laws of Bar Mitzvah a law of how to be nice. We know the Pasuk says, V'af liyacha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. And that means that you're supposed to be even nicer to your relatives than you are to strangers. Yipsarchal titalem, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, don't ignore your flesh and blood. So let's see, if you're selling a field and there's no neighbor to the field. Shcheni Ha'ir, your neighbors from the city would like to buy it. Shcheni Sada, whereas neighbors who are neighbors of yours in your fields want to buy this field, which is next to them. Let's say this is a different field. But they want you to do a favor to them because they're a neighbor of yours. So the real neighbor, Shcheni Ha'ir, is the neighbor of the city. Kodman, they come first, you should sell it to them first. However, Shachin V'Talmid Chacham, if you're selling a field and there's a neighbor who wants to buy it, not that he's a neighbor to this field, he's a neighbor generally. And here's a Talmid Chacham who wants to buy it. Talmid Chacham Kodun, the Talmid Chacham comes first. Karav a Talmid Chacham, if there's a relative in a Talmid Chacham Kodun, a Talmid Chacham comes first. Ibailu, that a question, Shachin v'Karav Mai, if there are two people bidding on a field, one is a relative and one is a neighbor, who should you sell to? Tashma, the answer is be nicer to the neighbor. The Pasuk says, Tov Shachin Karov, Me'ach Rachok, better a neighbor who's close to you, who's friendly, than a brother who is distant. Okay, that was an interruption that dealt with the laws of who to sell a field to. Now the Gemara gets back to the laws of Bar Mitzvah. Again, the law of Bar Mitzvah is an amazing law. The law says that if a field is sold, and I, a buyer, by the field, if there's a neighbor here, and the neighbor to this field wants the field, he says, Zev, if I would have known the field was for sale, I would have put up the money. I want the field because it helped me so much. It makes my field just as big. So makes it bigger. I need to step out as the buyer. The seller needs to give him the first right of purchase. However, now another exception to Bar Mitzvah. Let's say, Hani Zuzi Tavi, one person, namely the neighbor, is coming with good coins. V'ani zuzi tukuli. But the other person, the stranger, is coming with heavier coins. So the seller says, I want the heavier coins. So then again, less mishum dina de bar mitzvah. Here you don't have the law of bar mitzvah. Because the seller can say, I shouldn't lose out because there's a neighbor who wants it. And therefore, if I prefer the heavier coins, and only this guy was offering the heavier coins, he's offering something different. He's the one who's entitled to it. Hani tzayi v'ani shari. Let's say one person is offering coins that are bundled, the other person is offering coins that are unbundled. So less permission dina de bar mitzvah. Again, you don't have the law of bar mitzvah, because a person might prefer bundled coins, because he can store them. He might prefer unbundled coins. It's easier for him to count how much is there. Amar, if the neighbor said, Ezel, one second, wait, I'm going to go v'etrach, I'm going to do a lot of work, I'm going to have work hard. If I see Zuzi, I'm going to get together the money. Lo natrinale, we don't wait for him. Amar, if you said, Ezel, I'm going to go, I see Zuzi, I'm bringing the money, I already have it. Chazina, so we make an estimate. Igavra the Amidur, if he's a wealthy man, the Azil Umaisi Zuzi, and he can go and bring his coins. Natinale, we'll wait for him, Vilo, and if not, Lo Natinale, we won't wait for him. Let's say Arad Zachad, one guy's coming, one guy owns the land. Ubati Dachad, on top of that land, somebody else has a house. So are they considered Bnei Metzra to each other? Are they considered neighbors to each other? So not really. Mare Ara Ma'akev. If the owner of the house wants to sell, the owner of the land can say, you got to sell to me first. Amare Bati. He can stop the guy who's selling the land, selling the house from selling to others. He can say, me first. However, Mare Bati, but the guy who owns the house, Lo Ma'akev Amare Da'ara. He can't say to the guy who's selling the land, hey, I want to get the land first. Because the guy can say, who cares who the land belongs to? Even if it belongs to somebody else, you still have your house. Ara Dachad, if the land belongs to one, Vidikla Dachad, and the Deitchi belongs to somebody else, Mare Da'ara, again, the owner of the land, Matzi Ma'akev Amare Didikla, if the owner of the Deitchi wants to sell the Deitchi, the owner of the land can demand it first because he is a neighbor. But Mare Dikla, but the owner of the Deitchi wants to get the land, Lo Matzi Ma'akev can't stop the seller of the land and make say, you have to sell to me first. Because the owner of the land says, it's irrelevant to you if you have the land or not. Either way, you have your Deitchi, which is fine. If the land belongs to somebody else, you still have your Deitchi. Amari Da'ari, he can't stop the man who's selling the land. What happens if Ara Labati, one person wants to buy the field because he wants to build houses. Ara Lazara, whereas the neighbor wants the field in order to plant. Yishuv Adif, best is to settle the land of Israel. And therefore, the one who wants to buy houses comes first. For less Beni, you don't have the rule here of Dina Debar Metzra, let's allow the neighbor to get it. Ifsik Mishuni, say, let's say between the neighbor and the land that's for sale, there is a barrier. There is a big rock that's a barrier between those two fields. Orichva de Dikla, all the date trees have grown into each other, so there is a fence between them. So Chazinus, we make a look. Im yachol lahachnas bafi lutlem echad, if you can combine the fields even with a single furrow. Ispa mishum dina de bar metzah. Then you'd have the rule of bar metzah. Let the neighbor get it. Ilo, but if you can't combine the fields, last mishum dina de bar metzah, there'd be no law of bar metzah. Hani arba b'nei mitzrana. Let's say there are four people who are neighbors to the field that's for sale. So the kadam chadminai, the first one who comes to buy it, vizavin zvine zvine, it's his. Ikulu asabadi adadi, if they all come at once, al guluhu b'karn yazil, then they divide it by corners, and each one gets a triangle. Their side going in like this, and then the one over there, their side going in like this, the one on the other side going in like this, and the one on the bottom going in like this. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha,